All right, let's jump into it now. Let's pray over the message. Father God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, we come before you today in unity. And Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' mighty name that you give us ears to hear and clear our minds and our hearts. God, we've all been through a lot, and I know you know that. But I just pray that every preconceived idea, every judgment could be left to the side today so that we may hear what you want to say to us today about being men and women of God. And I thank you for your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message is Triumphant Submission. You know, I know to many, submission is a cuss word, right? A scary word. What do you mean submit? But as we seek through the scriptures, as we go through this, you know, we dig into the scriptures, the word of God is truth. Amen. This is true. Our past, our broken relationships, people that have lied to us, done us dirty, and caused us to have a certain belief system need to be broken by the truth. Because the truth is, there is power behind obedience to the truth. Amen? So as we enter this, you may squirm in your chair a little bit today. I'm just going to acknowledge it. I know I was convicted by the scriptures. I saw where I could do better. And I just pray for that. Because there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? But let the conviction drive you to do better. There's grace and mercy for us all. Thank you, Lord. That precious blood paid for everything so that we have the room to grow in Christ. So this week we enter into the last part of the letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul the apostle, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has laid out the complete Christian walk from our identity in Christ to our responsibility as Christ followers to live a Christ-like life. In chapter 1, we are reminded that we Gentiles are predestined for adoption into the family of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, chosen by God for good works to bring glory and honor to him. In chapter 2, we are reminded that we were spiritually dead and have been made alive in Christ by grace through faith in the finished work of the cross. Now all who put their faith in Christ have been reconciled to God, being fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. In chapter 3, we're reminded of God's marvelous plan for us. And Paul prays for us that we may be strengthened with power in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may grasp how tall, long, deep, and wide the love of Christ is. In chapter 4, we are to be unified in the Spirit and are to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Paul emphasizes that the church continue to grow spiritually in unity and maturity. Then begins to instruct us on Christian living. We are not to live like we used to before we knew Christ. This kind of thinking is futile or empty spiritually. No more lying, no more cheating, no more stealing, no more immoral behavior. Anger, bitterness, fighting, or slander. We are to put off our old self and put on the new daily. Chapter 5 reminds us that sexual immorality, impurity, and greed have no place in our lives anymore. No place. We are to pay attention on how we live and remember that we've been set apart by God to live a life of spiritual wisdom, repentance, gratefulness, and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We are to live spirit-filled lives, giving God the glory in everything. So today we pick it up at the end of chapter 5. Paul now shifts to the importance and the power of submission. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21 says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's where this section starts. Because we're going to talk about wives, we're going to talk about husbands, we're going to talk about children, we're going to talk about being an employee and a boss. All having fallen under the submission of one another. That word for submit is hupotasso, and it's to place under in an orderly fashion. One thing I want to get straight up here before we dive in is that we are equal in Christ. God made man and woman. He made them in the likeness of him, okay? In Christ, we are equal. There is no slave nor free, man nor woman. In Christ, we're all the same. So, but there is an order, a divine order that God has set up for us that goes against our flesh. It goes against everything you and I did to survive this life without him. In relationships, being lied to, being hurt. All that's even in some of our relationships when we got saved, because sanctification is a process, amen? We give our life to Jesus and we're not, hey, I'm cured of myself. No, it takes a while to be sanctified. And so we have direction. We have divine and powerful direction that when you and I deal with each other, I'm coming in low, caring about you first more than me, and you're coming in low, caring about me more than you care about yourself. That is a divine order, and that's exactly what that means. It doesn't mean that you're a doormat and I get to walk all over you and you're a good Christian for that. It's not what it means. We can submit to God and submit to one another and still have boundaries. We can submit to God and submit to one another, coming in love, me caring about you, even if I disagree with what you're saying. This is the superpower we're talking about. It is a divine Holy Spirit power to know and to obey in situations where your feelings are not going to line up with it. You understand that? Your feelings will want to do what you've always done. Fight fire with fire. Don't let them get old. You know, I will not be treated like that ever again. Now, that same attitude, I won't be treated like that, can be done in love. I'm not going to let you talk to me like that. You know? So we start there. We submit to God's authority and we submit to one another willingly out of reverence and obedience to God. Why? Because favor rests on the one who obeys. Even if the other person is still acting like, you know, the fleshy, getting sideways on you, and there's no, you know, godliness coming out of them. If they're a Christian, you know, pray for them. But if they're of the world, don't blame. We don't blame a dog for barking, right? The dog. Don't blame somebody who doesn't know Jesus for acting like somebody who doesn't know Jesus. I mean, again, we have boundaries. But obviously they're not going to act Christ-like if they don't know him. Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 says this, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of the others. There is a beautiful, divine plan to follow in obedience. And see, again, it goes against what we normally do. You know, even with one another, people that we say we love, we start to argue and you need to hear me. And because we forget that there is a way for me to stop, listen, acknowledge that I've heard you, acknowledge that your feelings have been heard, your point has been made, and that I disagree. You know, I'm saying, you know, maybe we, but there's then reconciliation, then getting to the problem is much easier when nobody's starting fires. Does that make sense? If I start cussing at you, now you have a reason to be offended because I've sinned against you. Even if you just sinned against me, now I've sinned. Now the water is muddy. It's hard to get through the forest when we're just blah, 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 just acting on our feelings. See, this is God telling us to chill, right? Take a step, take a breath. If you need to pray, pray. But it's important that we pause and understand, you know, I've got the Spirit of God. Therefore, I have enough to get through this. And so I have a choice in this. And this is like milliseconds, right? I have a choice here. I can do what my feelings want to do. I can do what I want to do, or I can stop and I can obey the word of God. Come in submission to this person in the sense of I will not fight fire with fire. I'm going to care about you, even though, man, you are making me mad. I'm going to care about you. That's. So how do we do that? That's impossible. No, it's not. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, when we fill our minds, and that's why we're so big on discipleship here at His place. We're in a big season of just discipleship and learning and fellowshipping and talking about the Word and digging into it and dissecting it, really understanding, because the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. It doesn't just set us free if we don't know. So it's being filled with the Spirit. And here's what I want you to have a visual of what being filled with the Spirit is like. You have a cup. You knock out the bottom of the cup and you stick it in a river that's flowing. We fill, it's coming in, it's going out. It's coming in, it's going, it's a constant. And if I stop reading the Bible, if I stop praying, if I just watch TV and get on social media, I'm not getting filled. And I say that because I know we all do it. I do. But there should be a balance. You should be getting filled with the truth because, oh my gosh, you guys. Unless you're on a Bible app or, you know, watching a Christian podcast or something, there's really not, what we're watching is made to make us mad. It is angled no matter what you believe to divide you from other people. To make you angry and upset, to make you scared, to make you afraid. Oh my gosh, did you see that? We're being taken over, you know? Wait, God's on the throne. God's on the throne. And when we See, that's when we renew our mind. Oh yeah. So when, you know, I like to get on Facebook to look, see what you guys are doing and like your stuff and promote the church, you know, but I have to go through all that garbage and I can feel it. It's not adding to me. It's depleting to even let that in my eyes. Watching all those people fight, right? There's like so many videos on punching people these days. And it's like, oh man, it's bad out there. But see, it's not. You know, this is just what I'm fed on my feed. I don't know why I'm going into this, so it's kind of a rabbit trail. So, but it's a warning to us. Please, look, be filled with the Spirit, and you can pull this off. You can absolutely love your neighbor no matter how they vote, no matter what they think, whether their hair is Neapolitan or they have normal, you know, regular, their regular hair. We can love each other. Now Paul lists three groups of people. And I combine husbands and wives. Husbands and wives, children, employees and bosses. So, and the Bible starts with you ladies, so we're going to start with wives. It's not anything I'm in particular about. I'm just following the scriptures. Chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now this verse is taken out of context by men and women. Women get resentful and bitter about this, you know, rebellious, especially, you know, if you've grown up or you've been in situations where it's like, yeah, I would submit if he just knew how to lead. And men use this to dominate. And it's not. That's totally taken out of context. We have to remember here, this is absolutely of the Spirit of God. This is God's divine order. And again, let me just repeat, we are equals. It is learning how to treat one another in the most godly, ordained, favorable way. And it's, you know, for a lot of us, this takes adjustment. You know, faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I'm telling you, when we actively are obedient in what we've heard, through that experience is how strong faith is built. It's by trusting that if I do it God's way and coming out the other end and seeing what God has done, then I know for sure it's the truth. Amen? So it says, wives to submit to their husbands, because the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ, like Christ is the head of the church. So there's an order to things, and to have your husband be the head, ladies, does not mean you don't have value in the marriage. It doesn't mean that you don't have a voice or you don't contribute. You are absolutely equals. They're just a divine order. And really it has to be with treating your husband with respect. Now, what if your husband isn't leading you well? What if he's not even saved? The Bible is still true. If you, wife, submit to God, be obedient to the scriptures, and submit to your husband in a kind and gentle way, respecting him, the word of God says you could win him over. It will bring conviction on that man. I mean, you can't fight God. Again, It's scary. Let me just acknowledge that. Especially if your husband is not saved and you know, he's got issues and it's like, wow, you know, you're asking me to do a lot, Lord. Check this out. The one who steps out in obedience gains the favor, right? The favor of God will be with you. The obedience and the power of God by being obedient and the truth will be with you. And who can be God? Absolutely nobody. Something will happen. And if one person changes in a relationship, the relationship changes. It does. And you can't fight God. You just can't. Something will happen through your obedience, through your faith. Now, the husband is not the savior of the wife. Only Jesus Christ is. But a marriage is a picture. Marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ and his church. And that's what we're looking at today. That's what Paul is laying out for the church, that Ephesus was a Gentile city back then. They're total pagans. They lived exactly like we did before Christ. So there's similarities here. They have the same damage, the same dysfunction, the same messed up belief systems. And now they're Christians. Now they're saved. So this is Paul writing the letter to them. And Paul writing the letter to us. And this is beautiful, the way God laid it out, right? So woman was created from man, right? He took the rib from Adam and he created woman in his image. But women are the ones who birth the men. You see, like, we need each other. We're a little different, but we're the same, right? We're in equality, in spirit, in the way God sees us and loves us, and in quality as Christians, as Christ followers, equals. Absolutely equals. Value the same. Intelligence the same. Ability the same. We just are different in certain things. And we'll look at that when we get to the husbands, the difference. But right now, we're continuing with you, ladies. Another example is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All equal. All equal. No, none is inferior in the Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. The Son submits to the Father. And the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Father sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit testifies and glorifies the Son. So you see that submission isn't being less than, isn't us being a slave to one another. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Lord Chris, you know, no. Tracy would never do that, trust me. She was here first service. I wish I would have said that then. You know? You can call me Lord? No? Okay. It's not that, though, and I think that we think that. It's a submission, a oneness together. And you, as a godly woman, saying, husband, I am respect, you know, I'm respecting you as a man that has been called by God to be my husband. And I will input, I will share, but ultimately I will give you that authority over the family of being the head. You know, we can talk, we can reason, but I'm just submitting. It doesn't mean that it, you're less or less powerful or less effective or your husband, because your husband should be listening to you, ladies. I shared this In first service, and it's true, I call my wife 10 for 10. That's her nickname. 10 for 10, because she's right a lot. She is. She's right a lot. She's not always right, but she's right a lot. So I value her input. I value what she says. And I place her as an equal in my life, a valuable, valuable companion, you know, again, equal. It's us against the world, right? It's like man and wife, one flesh, same team, same team. And there's power there. So the togetherness, the divine order working together is blessed by God. I'll give you another example. So the husband is the head, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. Connected. One can't be without the other. And it's connected. See, the woman can input and have influence. It's a good visual. Not one is more important than the other, really. Because the head might tell my arm to go, but all the nerves run down the neck, right? Goes through the neck. Nothing from here does not pass through here before it goes to here. Here's the curse, ladies, in Genesis 3:16. 3:16, yeah. God said to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That Hebrew word for desire has a root in its context that means to seek control over, to master your husband. It's part of that fallenness for women to want to master over their husband. And you can kind of see it, the culture, how they've, you know, usually the man's a hoo, 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 and he's got a strong, strong woman, right? There's nothing wrong with strong women. I am married to a strong woman. But you see the way the culture wants to demasculate and switch the divine role. Adam was the one held accountable for the fall. Even though Eve and Adam were both cursed, and the serpent, that Adam was held accountable. And ladies, for reference, if you'd like to look up and be encouraged and be inspired, Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 31, or, you know, they call it a Proverbs 31 woman. And there's some rich scripture that I pray will bless you and encourage you in that. Okay, guys, you're next. This got me too. There's places I can do better. That's all I pray for us today. You know what? There's places in my life that I can fix and adjust to be more obedient, to give you more glory, God, to bless my wife more and my family more. So verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present to her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. See, that also is the tall order, right? It's a tall order to ask you to submit. It's also a tall order for God to ask us to love you like Christ loves the church. Do you know how much he loves us? He died for us. He laid down his life. So husbands or men, and if you're single here, you can still glean so much wisdom from this. But husbands, we are to die to our own needs. Her needs, her, that she's taken care of, that she feels honored and heard and blessed and protected, should be our most important care besides our relationship with God. Her needs before mine. I could do better. You know, that is dying. Christ died for his church. Christ forgives us. And even though, you know, we sin against him and there might be consequences to our sin, he never condemns us. There's no anger between God's child and him. He's angry with people that don't have the blood of Christ over them. There is a wrath of God that is coming for sinners. But we're covered in the blood of Jesus. So, you see, guys, that is also a tall order where we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a regular basis so that we remember the way I, whether my day's good or my day's bad, when I get home and I engage with my wife, I need to put her needs above my own. If she's upset that day, I really need to be the rock for her and not jump in the tornado and join the chaos, but really be a grounding. And ladies, you can, vice versa, you can do that too if your husband's, you know, upset. Be that grounded woman. It's really, men laying down our lives for our wives, it's submission. It's not, it doesn't make us any less. And again, let's not get it confused with being a doormat. Let's not get it confused with it not being powerful. Because love is the most powerful power in the universe. Nothing beats the love of Christ. And let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. This is how we should love our wives. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. All these other powerful gifts do not compare to love. Every commandment hangs on love God and love your neighbor. So we men are to give an example and not, even though in our fallen nature, we want to rule over them, right? That's Old Testament, the curse, that we are to lay down our lives for them, serve them in such a way that they can't not follow you with Jesus. They can't not submit to us. Because we are submitting to God, we're laying down our life for them, we're being selfless for once in our lives, right? And we begin to come together as one. Even though God already sees us like that when we're married, but there's something very intimate. When we start obeying God at his word, there's a trust built there. There's a safeness. When man and woman know that, you know what? They're not perfect, but they're They are following God. I know my wife is following God. I know my husband is following God. And they're in process. But again, favor follows the obedient. When I lay down my life, my feelings don't line up with it, but I lay it down anyway. And I put my wife first. The favor of God follows me. The power of God and the anointing of that act or that word follows me. And he does the increase, right? We can plant, we can water, but he gives the increase. And let me tell you something. Marriage is all about sanctification. God is more concerned with our holiness than he is our comfort. And marriage is like the advanced course in sanctification. Because you're with that person all the time, every day, and it's like, die, Chris Jones. Die. I love my wife, but you know what I'm talking about, right? I hear you laughing. Verse 28. In the same way, still talking to husbands. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed it and can care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. It's a beautiful divine order in that, that looks like Christ and the church. This is what we strive for, fellow followers of Christ. If you're single right now, then this is what, you know, we began this with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Take what the meat and spit out the bone. If you're married, this is what you should strive for. God heals our marriages in obedience to his word. He heals our relationship when we obey his word over our feelings, over our past hurts, over all the stuff that happened in our life. We can be healed and set free and be in a healthy relationship that is anointed by God. A covenant of care between one man and one woman. Love and respect and obedience and submission to God. Amen? So let's move to the children. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. This is Paul quoting Deuteronomy 5:16, the first of the Ten Commandments. Children, honor your mother and father. No matter what age you are, we are somebody's child. And look, I get it. Some families, you know, are dysfunctional. We come from dysfunctional places where it's hard to deal with your parents. But this is, you can still honor and love your parents with boundaries. It doesn't mean you have to take any verbal abuse, sinful behavior. You can even address that in love and honor towards them. And you're not, it doesn't, You're not actually doing it for them. You're doing it for God. I'm honoring you, Mom, Dad, out of a reverence for Christ, out of a reverence for the God Almighty who the glory fills the earth. His glory fills the earth, and I'm being obedient, and I'm giving you honor, and I'm giving you respect from that. It's regardless of their behavior, regardless of any of that. But yeah, I might have to put a little space between me and my family sometimes. That's okay. That's healthy. It's okay. When we do interact, make sure you can honor and respect them in obedience to the first of the Ten Commandments. You don't have to dive in to old behavior. You don't have to dive in to that family curse. You break the curse. You're the one with the power of God in obedience to God that comes with favor. Comes with the power to break that. Relationship changes when you change. Amen. It says, verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We aren't to beat our children up, dads, verbally or physically. We are to train them and instruct them in the Lord. The Lord's way, a loving way, right? Instruct them and teach them how to be men and women of God. You know, it's hard on, and I think that some of us have experienced, you know, fathers who have exasperated us, and it wasn't great, right? We much would have rather had instruction and training with love and patience. Verse 5. I gotta go quick. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor, but when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do. Do we know that? We should know that. Whether they are slave or free. God has no favorites. So, since there's no slaves in this room, but there are employees, right? This is a great, we work hard for God. We want to bless our boss. We want to bless the company, but we're doing it to honor God. I want to shine in my workplace to give glory to God, because everybody at your office should know you're a Christian, right? Shouldn't be a secret. And if it is, no condemnation. I'm just letting you know, the more you know Christ, the less you're going to be able to keep it in. It's too good. He's too good. So we work hard. We tell the truth. We take the high road. We're in our relationships at work, just shining the love of Christ, giving out grace, and it's blessing our boss, blessing the company we work for. But we're doing it wholeheartedly, because we're serving the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Scripture confirms scripture right there. Now Paul speaks to those in authority, bosses. If you own a company and you have employees, or if you're in any kind of leadership at all and got people under you, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Bosses, treat your employees the same. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Do not treat people bad. When you have a place of any kind of authority, we are to treat people with respect and love. In fact, respect, patience, and encouragement go a long way when you're a leader. You want to win people and have them work as hard as they possibly can for you. Respect them, be patient with them, and encourage them. In that, in the leadership, we have a goal, but I'm encouraging you. I'll be patient with your mistakes, but we will correct them. And I will always treat you with respect. That will have favor, right? Just like the employee that is doing it for God, shining for God, doing a great job, favor of God will follow. People in authority, you treat people with respect and patience and love, the favor comes with it. Talking about the favor of God today in the submission of our will. It's dying to ourself, dying to our ego. It's just wanting to be obedient to Christ. We sang it today. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. He is. He's worthy of us to take the chance, die to self, and walk in obedience and submit to one another. Submit to one another. He's worthy. And he is faithful. Even though we aren't, he is. So when we do obey, there'll be his favor right along with it. He will reward us in obedience. We will see the fruit in our life. That I know. And if it ain't good, it ain't over. Amen. God prefers obedience over sacrifice. Oh, and this is the last thing. God will not stop anything that's going to sanctify you. We go through hard seasons. He allows stuff into our life to go through hard seasons to make us more like his son, to draw us close to him, to exercise our faith. He's not doing things to us, but he's sovereign over everything. He can stop whatever he wants, and he allows whatever he wants. So I believe the scriptures, because I've seen God move in my life, I know this, that when I'm obedient, it through the hardest times in my life, and I cling to him, and I mean, trust me, clinging to a life raft when you feel like you're sinking is a blessing. You come out the other side and you see his goodness. You see his faithfulness. And ultimately, right, this life is passing away. It's going to have ups and downs, lefts and rights, goods and bads. It's just the way it is. But eternity is sure. That's the most important thing. One day you and I will stand before the mercy seat of Christ and give an account of our life. The Bible lines out the ability for us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life of good works. So when we stand before God one day, we will be blessed. We won't be sad. We won't make it into heaven with the flames of hell burning the bottom of our shoes. We'll be high-fiving. What's up? I'm here. Yeah. That's the way I want to go in. Well, your life matters. This life matters. If it didn't, the Bible would tell us that it didn't. But it does. So, amen. So I don't want to end a service without giving an opportunity. You know, we talked about relationships and submission and how God can heal us from our past and ourselves and our egos. But a relationship with Christ starts with submission to Him, a surrender to Him. And it has to start somewhere. So at this church, we like to pray, right? And it's not the prayer that saves you. It's God who you're praying to who does. So if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have before, but you know you haven't been living with Him and for Him, and you want to rededicate your heart, we want to give you that opportunity today. Because today matters. Salvation has come to His place. And is found in Jesus Christ. And He loves you. And He wants to have an intimate relationship with you and set you free. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to rededicate your heart, just raise your hand and we'll pray together. All right? Nothing to be ashamed about. Amen. Amen. Church, will you pray this prayer with me? Father God in heaven, thank you for your Son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, Father God, shine your face upon your people as they go. Holy Spirit, would you just fill us up right now, God, and give us the conviction this week to treat one another well, to submit to one another, to care for one another above our own needs. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for what you're doing in your people. And I pray your highest and best blessing as they go this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Love you guys. See you next week.